Everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Get Out Media Podcast. I am joined today by dear friend, you know, and co-host here, Billy Newland. And we're going to talk about something that's really near and dear to our heart, and that is hog hunting. More specifically, we're going to do a little bit of a 101 for you guys, kind of go over the basics, getting into the sport, because in Texas, it's a free-for-all. But in some of the other states, as Billy and I did a little bit of research in, it's treated like a lot like deer season. But in Texas, if you can think of a creative way to hunt pigs, Texas says go for it.
Yep, 100%.
So, Billy, I kind of want to get into our first hunt together. You know, that's really how you and I started this friendship, was through hog hunting. And at the time that we met, you know, that's, you and I were sitting there showing pictures of pigs we've killed in the past and, you know, everything like that. And I really started my hog hunting on my buddy's property there in Spring Branch. Yeah. But I know you were guiding on a piece of property there in Trinity. Mm-hmm. And your boss actually invited me out there and you got to guide me. So I know the funny thing about that one is when you and I both learned that our eye relief is different when shooting, because the first pig, I used your gun, the first pig we got close, I missed. And then I was like, you know what, give my .06 back. And then we finally got it done. But dude, when did you start hog hunting, man?
Oh, geez, dude, I was young. It started with dad. We were out running around one day. We were actually going out to deer hunt. It was in the middle of deer season. And we went out behind the house. And as we came around the bend to where the food plot was, there were a whole bunch of pigs sitting there. And we laid two of them down, and that was it. I was like, let's scrap the deer hunting. Give me the pigs. This is fun. There's target-rich environment. I want every one of them.
Yep.
And it just launched from there, man.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, dude. I think that's one thing that I've really enjoyed about hog hunting is that it is a target-rich environment, especially if you can get in on a big sounder or even get in on just a big satellite boar, you know, because if there's one, there's more.
Yeah.
And I know Spencer's not with us, so I'll steal his thunder on this one. Is the first time I took Spencer hog hunting on our place. You know, I put him up in this one location we call the tower. You know, it's a single man blind, 10 feet in the air, and got a feeder about 50 yards out.
Yeah.
So he's hog hunting. I'm currently trying to bow hunt for the first time on my place, and I'm not being successful. You know, the wind's bad. I had a deer snort wheeze at me. And all of a sudden, I get a text from Spencer saying, pigs at the feeder. And I said, well, aim true, best of luck. All of a sudden, I hear the gunshot go off. And so I immediately was like, you know what, I'm going to go help him. So I'm getting halfway down to my truck. So I'm about 100-yard walk to where I parked my truck.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, dude, I hear boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden I hear boom, 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 boom. Dude, it was like World War III kicked off at the place. So I immediately get out of my camo, get my jeans back on, go down there to find him. I'm like, what happened? He's like, well, I had two lineups. I tried to take them both out with one shot. And then I went trailing blood. And the next thing I know, I had a sounder of pigs come surround me, and he's hands and knees crawling in the underneath the cedar trees. And a sounder of pigs moved in on them because they were headed to the feeder. And so he started laying into him with his 9mm. We did find one of them, but there were so many trails, dude. We couldn't find everyone that he shot at, but we did find one of the pigs, a little piglet that he got.
Nice.
but man, it's just, it is so much fun. But what initially attracted me, I guess I would say, into hog hunting, because obviously I did a little bit of hunting hogs before you and I met. And my biggest thing, dude, is one, it's typically not like whitetail in the sense of, like, you know, first light, last light, you're going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, you're hunting them in the dark, or you're hunting them in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is about pigs as far as they either like it blatantly in the middle of the day or they like it way into the wee hours of the night.
Yeah. See, I've shot them at all times of the day, and I've shot them at all times of the night. But then again, in East Texas, man, they're everywhere. So it's, I've sat on fields where I've got there before daylight, shot a pig, and then move to another spot in the field. 2 hours later, you know, it's sun's up. I shoot another pig, go to drag them out, go back to check something during the workday on the same piece of property. During a lunch break, shoot another one in the middle of the day, mm-hmm. shoot one after work, shoot them at night. I mean, it just, they don't really have a pat. You can't pattern them. They're just, they're either there or they're not.
Yeah.
But they're constantly on the move.
Yep. And they're super intelligent. And I don't, and I think a lot of people give them the notion that they are retarded, and they're not. Every encounter I've had with hogs, especially with that nose of theirs, if you don't play the wind right, you're never going to sneak in on a pig. Yeah. They may have poor eyesight, but they will smell you from a mile away.
Yeah, they are blind, that is for sure. But, yep, they'll pick you quick with the nose.
Oh, yeah, every time. And I know you kind of mentioned earlier that the properties you were guiding on and managing, I know one of them specifically gave you the guidelines is you were to shoot them on sight.
Yeah.
Now, why is that? Get into that aspect, because I know a lot of people talk about their destructive capabilities. So kind of go into that for me.
Yeah. So the one property that the very first property I actually started off, it was really three separate locations. One was under high fence. The other two were low fence, free range. And the two low fence, free range places were, you know, shoot on sight, as you said. So I'll start with the one in East Texas. So the property was 250 acres, about 100 of it was pasture. And there's a local farmer there that would use that field for hay, for his cattle that we would lease out to him. And those pigs would get in there and they will tear the ground up. They'll root the ground up and just create these giant, essentially, potholes. Mm-hmm. And you'll bust, you know, wheel bearings and axles off the tractor. You'll destroy hay cutters, the balers, the hay rakes. They destroy the ground, which in turn will destroy equipment. Or, you know, if they're on the property where you have livestock, they could, not only they will eat young livestock. I've seen them kill and eat baby calves, and there's videos of them killing baby deer. They'll eat deer.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. But if they tear the ground up where you got livestock, man, they could break a leg on some of your livestock. And then now it's like, okay, depending on where your cattle market's at. I know at the time the cattle market was high when I was working for that place. And the pigs were going on to the guy's cattle farm too. And, you know, if he had a cow break a leg, man, he's out. Not only the 3,000, 4,000, because he does F1 hybrids. You know, he's out 3,000, 4,000 a head if one breaks its leg. Not only that, the money that he's put into feeding and raising that cattle as well. So he's out. If you really break it down, he's out $10,000+ on one animal.
Oh, yeah. And not to mention that they have horses.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen the price of some of these horses that people raise on these horse farms, and all they need to do is go out there on a gallop and fall into a rut that a big boar put in there.
Yep.
And when we're mentioning guys as far as animals and livestock potentially breaking legs and things like that, it's because what hogs will do, they will call, it's called rooting. They will dig their snout into the ground, and they can dig it pretty deep. I've seen some ruts from boars that literally go about 18 inches into the ground, and a whole sounder will literally take out about a third of an acre in one night if there's something there that they want, you know, because sounder sizes, I've seen sounders as big as 50 plus pigs. And the biggest sounder I've ever seen was in Comal County on, you know, Matt's place.
Yeah.
And that was, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the amount of hogs that came out of the cedar tree line. There was about 50 of them. And a sounder of 50 hogs can do some absolute devastation on a piece of property, especially if it's ag-related.
You know,
in the hill country, it's kind of tough because there's a lot of rock. But even with the rock, man, they'll still dig it up, tear it up. You know, you see big areas where on our family property where the hogs will still push rocks around just to find grubs and stuff like that hiding underneath them.
Mm-hmm. And that's the big thing too. And on our ranch that we had out in Kerrville that I was managing too, we would have fence lines. And obviously, you know, if there's fresh dirt, pigs gonna check it out regardless. Mm-hmm. But we would have pigs come in and they would destroy the fence lines. They would uproot the posts that we put in. Some of the, like, even our corner posts, you know, those were, obviously, there's a bunch of cedar down there. So we use cedars as our corner posts. Mm-hmm. They'll, not only will they root up those cedar posts, but they'll also get on there and they'll make it a scratching post. And they eventually will break it. So not only are they destroying, you know, profitable stuff as far as hay and cornfields and wheat fields and whatever, but they'll destroy your fencing. Oh, hey, here's a scratching post. Well, not no more.
Yep.
Kiss your fence line goodbye, because now you got to rebuild it and drop more money. And yep. Fencing ain't cheap, especially these days.
Yeah, no, and I feel personally, as far as like with me, we don't really have too many issues with the hogs messing with the livestock out at our place. But the one thing for sure that I always run into with hogs is if you're trying to use bait sites to deer hunt, if you don't add some form of deterrent from there, which, believe it or not, soybeans is a natural deterrent for hogs, they will conquer a feeder and you'll never have whitetail on it. Because once the hogs stick to it, they are going to sit there and come in twice a day, three times a day to make sure whatever food that comes out of those feeders they get.
Oh, yeah. And if they're hungry enough and pissed off enough, they'll knock your feeder over and empty it in 10 minutes.
Oh, dude, don't even remind me about that, man. Remember that one I told you, feeder killer?
Oh, yeah.
So, guys, quick story. I named this hog feeder killer because I literally came to check on my feeders one September. It was like September 2020. And I found one of my feeders where the leg had gotten knocked off. The drum is literally, it was opened up. Like the lid came off, lid's on the ground. All 350 pounds of corn's gone. I go and check the trail camera. You can see this pig begin to push the leg as far as it would go to cause the weight to collapse. And then when the feeder fell, the lid didn't pop off. This hog was able to unlatch the drum barrel with his snout to open that feeder up and to get to that corn. When we talk about hogs' intelligence, they are extremely intelligent. If they want that feed, they're going to get that feed.
Yep, one way or another.
I know Devin lost a feeder to hogs too. They did the same thing. They are absolutely food-driven for sure.
Yeah, we stopped running feeders on Dad's place for a while because they had moved in and they were tearing the pond up and the spillway on the pond, and they were destroying the feeders. So we just stopped running feeders for a little while until they eventually moved out.
Yep. Now, getting into the nitty gritty on hog hunting, man, let's get into the typical gear that one would need for a hog hunt. And one that I am particularly biased on is weapon choice.
Yeah.
You know, because I've seen some hogs take some shots to the face and run with it. I speak from experience, and I've seen people stick arrows in the pigs and they never find the pig. So Billy, specific for you, when you're going to hog hunt, what is your go-to? We'll start with, cause you do both. I know you bow hunt and you rifle hunt. We'll start with rifle. What is your rifle and caliber of choice when hog hunting?
So 99% of the time I'm running an AR with 75 grain boat tail hollow points from Hornady. Shot placement, it's typically right behind the ear. Mm-hmm. Because, number one, to shoot a pig over, in my opinion, over 100 yards with a 223 round, unless you're putting it right behind the ear, there, I wouldn't be taking that shot.
Yeah.
And you know me, I'm that oddball guy. I love to carry a 40 around, and I'll carry a 200 grain custom load hollow point out of the 40, and I'll run my 40 Smith & Wesson on the hip.
Yep.
In case I get in those like super close, sketchy encounters. And even then, you know, I've shot, and you've seen the pictures, I've shot some pretty big boar, you know. A couple that are really close to 400, one that I'm pretty sure broke 400, but I never had a scale to get the official weight. But
was that the red one? The red boar? Was he the black one, right?
That was the black and white one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The two, let's see, the one black one that I shot when I was like 13, I think he was like 225. The one that I shot with my bow after deployment, he was upper 200s, high 200s. I shot him with the bow. Boy, did that pig run. He ran easily 3/4 of a mile. And that was double lung, complete pass through. And he still ran almost a mile.
Oh, yeah.
So they're tough animals. But yeah, now as far as weapons, you know, I'm usually running my AR with the 75 grain bowtie hollow points. And then I carry my Smith & Wesson 2.0 40 with a 200 grain custom hollow point.
Yep. Yeah, for me, hog hunting, of course, I started out on just your standard bolt action, you know, bolt action 30-06. And yep. My Winchester Model 70 is probably now, between everyone I've even let use my rifle, because my rifle becomes like the guest rifle now, because I got my new 300 Win Mag.
Yeah.
And between my kids and them, it's killed a healthy amount of pigs. But with a 30-06, just simply through the shoulder is going to dump them.
Oh, yeah.
Calvin and I both have taken really big hill country boars with a 30-06. But as I started getting older, I fell in love with obviously the modern sporting rifle, because obviously Marine Corps, you know, we train with M4s all the time. So it was muscle memory, and I was proficient with it. And then I applied those same skills into hunting, and it comes in handy too, especially with hogs, because you can see one, shoot that pig, and then the next thing you know, two to three to however more pigs start appearing out of nowhere.
Yep.
And I've had it where I'm filling a feeder, and I had hogs come out on me as I'm standing on the ladder and I'm filling the feeder. So in sticky situations like that, when you know they're hungry and you're in their way, they're gonna come at you. It's like you got to have more than just one bullet.
And so
me, modern sporting rifle is a heck of a choice. And I'm like you, you know, I know a lot of guys that like to run 308, you know, AR-10 platform rifles for hog hunting. I don't, not because I don't want to, it's just I've been decent enough to successfully harvest them with my 5.56, you know, 223 Remington.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite shooting as big of a bullet. I typically just go to the store and the Winchester Deer Season XPs in the 64 grain. Mm-hmm. They've done really well, man. You know, right there at the ear, behind the eyeball, right there in that little gap. I mean, it's dropped every single one of them, except that boar I told you about earlier in the episode. He took that one straight to the face and ran with it. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of crazy things, but ARs are, as far as a lot of people want to call them now, MPRs, to get rid of the whole AR name to them. MPRs are a great choice for hog hunting. Now, going into archery, you know, I've attempted to bow hunt hogs one time and I wasn't successful because obviously they smelt me and they were gone in seconds. But I know you've been very successful bow hunting hogs, and I got another friend of mine in Blanco. He's been very successful bow hunting hogs. What would typically be your broadhead of choice along with your grain weight of arrow of choice when bow hunting pigs?
Oh man, that's a good question, because my bow case is actually sitting right here beside me. So let me go ahead and grab this out. So I will tell you now, I've shot pigs with expandable broadheads, Rage to be exact. And I've shot pigs with fixed blades.
Yep.
I can honestly say, when it comes down to shot placement, that's a big thing. But I will not, 9 times out of 10, will not shoot a pig with an expandable broadhead, simply because of the fact that their bones are so tough, and their shoulder blades, especially if you end up shooting far forward, those expandables, they don't seem to work as well as what you're going to do with a fixed blade broadhead. So if I'm chasing pigs, I'm going to be shooting a G5, the Montech.
Mm-hmm.
It's real, real, real durable broadhead. I ended up blowing through the shoulder of a real big boar, probably about a 220 pound boar. And I ended up blowing completely through the front shoulder and went out the opposite shoulder about an inch with that G5.
Yeah.
With a rage, I ended up hitting one in the shoulder, and that was a sticky situation. I won't get in that story. But that rage broadhead bounced, like, didn't even, it, like, made a scar mark on the shoulder blade. It didn't even penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
But I was shooting just standard carbon arrows back then. Now I'm shooting the 5mm Easton full metal jacket arrows.
Yep.
So that's carbon wrapped aluminum arrow. And those things are devastating, heavy hitting, a lot of energy when it hits. That's what I like to shoot for pigs, G5 Montec, followed up on that 5mm Easton full metal jacket arrow. And that thing will just, it just punches holes like a bullet.
So it's what weight is your bow set to right now?
So my bow is set on 72, if I remember correctly.
Nice. I know before I sold my bow was set to 70. That was the magic number I've heard a lot about. And you're not the only person I've heard talk about, you know, using fixed broadheads over mechanical broadheads when boar hunting. And I've heard two reasons. You already hit on one with the shoulder blades, how just solid they are. The second one I've heard people say reason why you shouldn't is because the amount of mud that sometimes these boars are caked in. And those mechanical broadheads struggle getting through that mud. Now, I know for a fact, and I'm going to call him out right now, and he's going to laugh when he hears this episode when it records. But James Casey, when you're listening to this, yes, I know you've killed plenty of big boars with mechanical broadheads, a.k.a. the Naps. However, we've heard more people say steer clear of the mechanical broadheads when hog hunting for those reasons. And it's funny. I'm going to tell a story for you. This guy literally, and Spencer was even there for this in regards to, he was with me when this whole thing happened. James shot us a text. We were hunting one year and he said, "Hey, I just shot a sow. I'm on the trail now." And couldn't find his arrow. Like he's looking all over the place for his arrow. Cause you know, the first step of after you fling an arrow is find the arrow.
Yep.
Couldn't find the arrow. So he has this GSP, this German Shorthair pointer named Dixie that he trained to be a blood trailing dog. Gets her on the trail. They find the sow like 150 yards, if I remember correctly. And he can see the entry, but he doesn't see an exit. But there's no, he can't find the arrow. So he goes to field dress this pig, and the arrow is inside her, the entire arrow. Like it came in, hit the opposite shoulder, kicked back to the hip, and sat inside her. It never exited. It stayed in, the whole arrow stayed inside her body.
That's crazy, dude.
So when you talk about it, talk about them and sometimes the inability to puncture through those shoulder blades, I mean, that's testament to it.
Yeah. And being we're on archery pigs, which we can show this on the Instagram and the Facebook.
Yep.
This here was the last pig that I killed. Just 250 pound boar. Usually you got some cutters on him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So right after I got back from deployment, my uncle's like, "Hey, there's a big boar. He runs through every evening about this time. Go sit out in the pine tree thicket on the corner of the property where the feeder sits." So not thinking about it, I still had rage broadheads on. Well, here comes this pig, and you can't miss him. He looked like my truck coming through the field.
Yeah.
This big old burly black pig just got, and I got lucky because he had just come out of the creek on the other side of the property. And so he was somewhat clean for the most part, as far as no mud and stuff caked up in his hide. But
yeah.
40 yards, he stopped. I guess he caught wind or something. I guess the wind swirled on me, but 40 yards, friggin' plugged in with a rage and, you know, shooting a 5mm FMJ arrows from Easton. 100% punched through, you know. Didn't catch shoulder, didn't catch rib cage. No, I take that back. I think I caught the rib cage coming out because one of my blades were completely shattered. But
yeah,
I mean, still, this pig ran almost 3/4 of a mile.
Oh, yeah. And,
I mean, you can see the head. I mean, this ain't no small pig.
No.
He's a big old boar. But I plugged him with a range, and luckily we found him, and he bled pretty good. But, you know, I think just with the sheer fact of him actually being clean, so to say,
yeah,
is why I got good penetration, a complete pass through with the mechanical broadhead.
Yeah, cleaner.
Yeah, cleaner.
Yeah, because I think for a lot of people, they don't realize when they go and they hunt hogs, because I know I was the same boat when I was novice at it. You know, I treated hog hunting like you treated deer hunting. And you learn really quickly you're hunting two different species.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Both on strength, their willingness to survive, their wit, their intelligence. It's just, it's night and day. And speaking of night and day, I've gotten really big into thermal hunting and night hunting for hogs. That's how we've been actually successful these last few deer seasons in getting hogs is while in the, you know, hunting them at night. Yeah. And I do run a thermal monocular, and I love it. It's awesome because you can blatantly see those heat signatures. The only thing I will say that I don't like about it, it's just like with our PVS 14s in the Marine Corps. There's no depth perception. So you're like, oh yeah, dude, he's far away. And next thing you know, you're actually right up on top of him, and he's already caught your scent and he's running.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing I really struggled with that. But I know that a lot of people are getting really big into the thermal hunting, you know, both out of a helicopter and on foot, you know, spot and stalk with thermals.
Yeah.
And have you had the chance to experience thermal hog hunting or?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually did North Carolina. Again, just back from deployment. And you know how it is. You got that so long of a lull before they let you take leave or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I found a guide service that specialized up there in thermal hunting. Mm-hmm. So I called him up and was like, hey, I want to come shoot some pigs. It's been a long time since I shot some pigs. You know, what are you charging? He gave me a price. It was reasonable. So I jumped all over it, went up there, and they had it on ARs, and they put you in this big swampy food plot that they made and put you up in a stand. And they're like, here's the on button. Click this button. You get your reticle and you let her rip. And I ended up shooting a decent sized pig up there. It was just a 2-day hunt. So
yeah.
You know, you can accomplish a lot in 2 days, but at the same time, if you're sitting in a stand and you don't know the area, you're kind of limited. But I was lucky enough to at least get one under thermal, and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah, dude. I've been following this guy. He's based out of Seguin. He does thermal hog hunting trips, and that's all he does. But they will literally go and do the full-on, almost like a fire team. And yeah. You just, you know, close with on a sounder of pigs in an ag field, and you're all online, and they're just like, take them out, and it just all hell breaks loose. And so that's something that I really want to do. I want to go and eventually try it out that way. But I know that's the big thing now is, and night vision's even come a long way too.
I know thermals,
they're just, in my personal opinion, my favorite. But even night vision now is getting pretty insane. I got a chance to do a little bit of night vision hunting with my buddy Devin. You know, he came out to the property early last season in his optic. I think it's a, correct me if I'm wrong, ANG? ATG?
ATN.
ATN. See, I'm going to get yelled at by AJ, my buddy AJ, for not knowing it because he works for him. But we got a chance to utilize that on Devin's AR-10 when he shot a sow in our place. And what I thought was really cool about it is, even though it was night vision with that IR, it actually gave it a little bit of color too. So it was almost like you're shooting in broad daylight. It was really cool about his optic. It could record the shot. Because after he shot, we went looking. We couldn't immediately find blood. Go back and play the footage over in his scope. And we're like, you were definitely on her. You're a little far back, but you were definitely on her when the gun went off. So we go back and finally I found the trail, and the first sight of blood was like 30 yards down the trail. Finally found blood, and we found her another 30 yards past that.
Nice.
So those come in handy too if you ever got to go back and replay your shots, because I know most thermal optics on the market now and night vision optics on the market now have the ability to record while you're shooting. So that's a really cool thing to have, especially if you get into content creating, or, and like Devin in my case, look back, look the shot over, like, did he hit it? Did he miss? You know, what the case could have happened. But another thing that we do now, because obviously, you know, we all have our 9-to-5 jobs. We're not all rolling in money, people. So we don't, we can't really afford the fine thermals and night vision that are out there. Is the one thing I like to use, and I know Billy, you've had a chance to use them too, is the hog lights. I personally like to use the ones from All Season Feeders. I have them on all of my feeders. You know, you sing a little solar panel. That's 100% how it runs. You can set it to where it's on immediately as dark comes on at a certain percentage, and then bright when an animal walks up, or you can have it completely off and it'll turn on immediately as soon as it senses motion. That's how we do it on our place. So we'll be sitting by the campfire, hanging out, you know, drinking a couple of beers, and all of a sudden our techs get a little ping from Stealth Cam and see pigs on the feeders, and we take off. More like a running gun. We're just sitting there waiting for them to show up. Because, man, I've seen it to where we're sitting there, and right when the sun sets, a feeder goes off, and there's pigs. And then I've seen it there. We're sitting there all night long, and they never show up. So it does come in handy when you're trying to hunt with them, especially at night, and you don't have night vision. Those feeder lights come in clutch for sure.
Yeah. And I run the Elusive Wildlife Technologies pig light. Mm-hmm. You can mount that on your bow, which 9 times out of 10, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
But you can mount it on your firearm as well. And that's the light that I've been running for years.
Yep.
And I love it.
Oh, yeah. Now, you got to have it. You got to have some form of either a green or a red predator light, hog light, just something that can help you see in the dark. And more importantly, help you make good shot placement in the dark. Because when you're looking through an optic at nighttime, I don't want to go into all the science behind it, but it is a lot different and a little bit slightly more difficult to judge your depth perception, because you have nothing really focused on. And so definitely come in handy as far as on the nighttime shooting. Now, getting into the talking about how tough their hides are, you got to have some good knives. And I know you and I, when we were doing this outline on this podcast, you and I got on like a 10-minute spit just on the blades alone. What blade are you typically running, man?
So for a while I was running buck knife
blades. That's what I run.
And don't get me wrong, they're an exceptionally great knife. But then I got handed an Outdoor Edge one day, and I haven't looked back.
Great knives. Great knives.
They're phenomenal. I know with a buck knife, I'd have to at least hone the knife up half a dozen times. That Outdoor Edge, maybe hit it on a steel once, twice at most. Yeah, they hold an edge great. They cut through hogs like butter. I love it. And that's what I've been running ever since. And I've been running those for about 4 years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I remember when I first started seeing Outdoor Edge commercials, this was probably back in like 2012. They had the swing blade, where you had the cutting blade and you could flip it, and you had the gut hook. And I thought that was really sweet. And I actually bought a buddy of mine that for Christmas, but he gutted so many hogs that year that he had to send it back to get re-edged because he probably field dressed about a dozen pigs with it.
Yeah.
And for y'all that don't know, hog hide is tough. It's a lot tougher than a whitetail for sure. And I know we put this in our notes and we'll hit on it, mostly because of the fact Tim Wells, he's gotten really big in this, and that's spears. And I know there's some other guys in Louisiana I've seen, Cajun boys, they love doing this too. I've never done the spear. I can't say I'd have an interest in ever doing a spear, but hey, spears are a primitive way of hunting that's coming back. It's gaining some traction. A lot of people are getting into it. I mean, I got to ask you, bro, because you surprised me. You probably have. Have you ever got a chance to hunt hogs with spears or no?
I've tried it, but I wasn't successful. Couldn't get close enough.
Were you doing it out of a tree stand, like up on top of them? Or were you actually trying to like go straight lion hunters in Africa where they approach with spears in their hand?
I've tried it both ways. The couple throws that I did have, I just missed. It's mm-hmm. You got to practice with throwing a spear. It is freaking goofy.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to throw it. But the spears that I did get the chance to use when I tried it, they were the Cold Steel. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I actually think that's what Tim Wells uses as well, as that Cold Steel stuff. And those things are sharp.
Oh, yeah. What was he hunting in that one episode where he accidentally got himself and got to get air-lifed out of there?
I think he was in Africa.
Yeah.
And wasn't, I don't remember.
Yeah, I just remember that was like his big clip there for a while when he accidentally got himself with that spear.
Yeah, those things are, you look at them and your eyeballs get split in half. They're that sharp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, obviously, guys, we talked about this, and if you've seen our social media pages, you see me filling feeders. And that's the big way that I hunt hogs on my place, is by the use of broadcast feeders, you know, so I can set the time and have a designated spot to post up and hunt them when they do come out. I haven't had too many opportunities to hunt them spot and stock, except in East Texas. East Texas has a lot of opportunities to hunt pigs spot and stock, a lot more ag fields out there and things like that, which Billy and I got to do a lot when we were together out there in East Texas, had a blast doing it. But no, feeders are a good way of doing it. There's different styles. Obviously, the broadcast feeder. I've seen people bury fermented corn in the ground, burying it up, and then just sitting on that because they'll wait for the pigs to come in to root that fermented corn out of the ground. I've seen them put the PVC pipe where they drill the holes and they anchor it to the ground, and they'll push the pipe around as it drops corn here and there out. You know, yep. There's different styles of feeders out there. But going into the next style, as far as equipment goes, gets more into what Billy had the opportunity to do a lot of times. I've never had the opportunity to do it. And that's running hogs with dogs.
Oh, yeah.
So talk a little bit about, real quick, about the gear that comes into doing it, which in Texas is probably the number one way besides thermal that people hunt pigs is with dogs. I know in the South, you know, Louisiana and Arkansas, there's just a bunch of hog hunters that run dogs. So go into the stuff that they would need in the regards to gear.
Yeah. So first and foremost, you know, obviously you got your dogs to look out for, but you yourself also have to, you know, you got to look out for yourself as well. Cause some of these places that pigs get into, you know, you encounter a lot of snakes and stuff too. And, you know, mm-hmm. East Texas is known for cottonmouth or water moccasin. You know, it's obviously same snake, couple different names, but
yep.
Good boots, snake gaiters, you know, because I've came across them and they've struck at me, and obviously I've had snake gaiters on, so you know, I was safe. But as far as your dogs go though, cut collar, which is essentially Kevlar, goes around their neck, protects the throat, the jugular veins, because you get into a tank, dog gets into a tangle with a big boar, and he's got some big cutters like that one that I got back behind me on the wall. That thing will shred a dog, and I've seen it happen before. They'll kill dogs. Also, a cut vest. Same. It's essentially like a plate carrier, Kevlar, you know, Kevlar coated big vest, goes around the dog's vital organs up under the armpits of the dogs, you know, because your catch dogs, they get in there and they grab a hold of these pigs, and they don't let go.
No, they don't.
And 9 times out of 10, they don't let go even after you dispatch the pig. You got to basically put a pipe in their mouth and pry them off. Mm-hmm. But cut collars, cut vests, GPS collars too, because when you get locked onto a side, your dogs get locked onto a sounder of hogs, you know, especially bay dogs. You get to that bay and you have your catch dog released, that catch dog grabs a hold of that pig, and you go to dispatch it. Next thing you know, you look up, you're catching or your bay dogs. They're freaking a mile away chasing that same freaking, you know, yep, sounder of pigs baying up another pig. So being able to have a GPS collar on your dog and that GPS handheld unit, that's going to be able to keep you tracked with your dog so you don't lose them. You know, you can take other protective measures. You can get like the dog pad shoes or whatever to keep your dogs from getting their pads all tore up and stuff. But carry plenty of water, not only for you, but for your dogs as well, because they get hot, especially in Texas. You know, you're looking, East Texas is bad, you know, 100% humidity. So,
oh, yeah, even 100 degree days can be,
yeah, 105 degree day can be 130 degrees with humidity.
Yep.
120, 130 degrees. And I've seen it several times, real feel.
Oh, yeah, we're seeing it right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
Yep.
Carry plenty of water for you, plenty of water for your dogs. And don't run all your dogs at once, or you're just going to have a nightmare and a half with dehydrated and tired dogs.
Yep.
Now, if you're running a couple of three bay dogs, okay, fine. But if you got 10 freaking bay dogs on your truck, don't run all 10 of them at once.
Yep. Because then y'all that don't know, a bay dog is essentially, he's your seeker. He's going to find the pig. And when Billy mentioned the catcher, I know there's different terms for it, but that's the dog that's going to go in there and grab a hold, and he's not going to let go. His one job is to essentially kill that hog himself. But in reality, he's holding it there for you when you get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And so go back to the good knives. That's where the knife comes in handy, because it's your job as the hunter to end that pig before that pig, one, hurts you or hurts your dogs. Because I've heard stories where hunters had to put their beloved companions down in the field because there was no way getting that dog out of there because how bad the cut was. And so getting into that, guys, you know, Billy kind of hit on it with the hydration and going into the safety precautions that you should be made aware of when hog hunting, especially when you're getting into the thick stuff with them, is we harp on this 9 times out of 10, Billy and I, is situational awareness.
Yes.
Because going back to our story with Spencer, you know, Spencer's on his hands and knees crawling underneath some cedar trees and had a sounder not come to hurt him, just ran up on him, headed to the feeder. You know, and there were, he was face to face with, you know, 10, 12 hogs that are just right up on them. And so just being consciously mindful that typically where you're going to find the pigs, you're going to run into some other things. And I know Billy and I are very well, I guess you say, experienced with the pokey things of the vegetation here in Texas.
Yep.
Man, how many times have you put your knees or your palm of your hands on like the most smallest minute piece of cacti that you were like, why are you even there in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what they say, if it don't bite you, poke you, or sting you, it ain't from Texas.
I like that. That's a good one. That's a good one. But yeah, no, I know for us, man, like where I'm at specifically, a lot of cactus, even hidden amongst the cedar trees, we have a lot of cacti up in there. We do get a lot of, you know, mesquite. And then there's a bunch of other native vegetation here in Texas. I don't know the names of it, but they all got some form of thorns. Yep. And man, you're going to get poked. You're going to get scratched. Barbed wire. Barbed wire in Texas is essentially every fence line. And on my family property, where it's been split throughout the generations, there's some old fence line, old boundary lines that are still hidden amongst the property that I have ran into while hunting pigs. So just be very mindful of what you're doing when hog hunting, especially at night. Daytime, it's still just as dangerous, but at nighttime, it is extremely dangerous. And Billy harped on this one earlier, and I'm going to harp on it again because I've had this happen numerous times, is snakes. Because you're getting into the thick stuff, and the thick stuff is cover, and it's not just cover for the hogs, it's cover for everything else in Mother Nature. And Texas is known for its snakes. I have been very lucky to not ever have to get face to face with the good old Western Diamondback. I do know a lot of people, especially in South Texas, it's every day. Like, it's not a matter of if you run into one, it's when you run into one. I mean, those guys are constantly running into rattlesnakes down there. And I know here in Central Texas, we have a lot more of copperheads, which copperheads are dangerous, especially if you're allergic to them. But even then, you don't want to find out if you are or not. No. So definitely wear some good boots. Definitely wear pants. Don't be hunting hogs in shorts. And I've seen people do it. Brandon.
Notorious for that.
Yeah. Yeah, Brandon, if you're listening to this, we still love you. But no, another one, and this is the one that I guess a lot of people overlook, and that is the amount of parasites as far as your ticks, fleas, and lice that are actually living on these pigs when you finally get up on them and you killed one of them. And
yeah, not to mention what you pick up when you're running through the brush too.
Yep. Oh yeah. But I don't know how many times after we hunt hogs, I constantly tell like the people that I'm with, or I tell my kids like, hey, check yourself, you know, shake your clothes out, look at your armpits, you know, look around your groin, look at your ankles. Cause dude, I don't know how many times I've had a flea get on me, a tick get on me because of messing with the pig, because they're covered in them, man.
Yeah, you have to be careful too, because Brad Paisley might be lurking around the corner wanting to check you for ticks.
That's a good one. Yep, you don't want Brad Paisley checking you out, you know, coming out of the woods after hog hunting.
Like, hey, you got any ticks on you? Play my guitar for you too.
Yeah, and of course the final thing, and Billy already hit on this, but I really want to emphasize on this because I've seen the damage that these animals can do with those tusks. Those tusks are razor, razor sharp. And it's not just the tusk. Hogs will bite you and shake you around like a dog.
Oh, yeah.
There's numerous videos of them doing it. They will grab and shred. And the last thing you want to do is have a hog get a hold of you, because it is going to wreck your world.
Yeah, especially a good big boar like some of the ones I've shot. Dude, you got a 4 to 6 inch pair of cutters hanging out of that pig's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That will kill you.
Oh, yeah.
Even a sow with 2 inch cutters, because if you think about it, if a sow gets you in the stomach, I think it's from the outside of your skin to your stomach lining, I think it's less than 2 inches, actually.
Yeah.
Or something right in that, like, 2 inch ballpark. So if a pig decides to get you and they catch your stomach area, unless you got someone who knows how to do some pretty substantial first aid,
yep,
you're probably done for. So you got to be careful about them cutters.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. So I'm going to throw that back in, you know, since we're not too far out of it for gear. Have a first aid kit, people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. We'll just leave it at that. Have a first aid kit when hunting in general. But if you're going to be hog hunting, for sure, because you're going to be around all these pokey things, things that bite, things that sting, definitely want to have yourself a solid first aid kit.
Yeah. And I will say on top of that, I've noticed this in Texas. And it's probably all over the world, too. Anywhere that has cedar trees, if you notice, there are no bugs on cedar trees. Bugs don't like cedar. There's a company in Texas, and I can't remember what town they're out of, but they make this spray called Cedarside, and I've used it before. And I will spray myself down in Cedarside before I take off hog hunting, and I won't have a bug on me at all. So definitely check that stuff out. It works wonders. It's great. I love it. Especially when hog hunting.
Yep. Aw, anyway. Dude. No, yeah. Well, that's what we like to do, you know, going off a small tangent. You mentioned that. That's what we like, reason why we like to burn fresh cedar on the campfire, is because if there are a bunch of mosquitoes around, it'll essentially, you know, keep the bugs off you even in that regard.
Yep.
Now coming into obviously where to find pigs, because even though you hear local news and you watch TV, they're saying hogs are everywhere. Even though that may be true on a geographical map, but in reality, they are in certain areas on that map. So, Billy, what is the first place you are looking for? Like, say you come to a new piece of property, which you and I've done a couple of times. Where's the first place you're going to find evidence of hogs?
So, honestly, it's really the first two places I check. Number one, any water source. 100%, because hogs will go to water and they tear up the tank dams on the, or for those who don't know what a tank dam is, the shoreline of a pond.
Yep.
It will absolutely demolish it. So you can easily tell if there's hogs on your property that way. If you don't have water source on your property, check your fence lines.
Yep.
Find fence crossings of animals. Look in the barbed wire. Hogs' hair get tangled up in barbed wire. It's like opening Christmas presents on Christmas morning. You know how you got all the trashed up wrapping paper all over the place on the floor? That's what hog hair looks like on fence lines. It just gets caught in there, and it's just all over that bottom strand of barbed wire.
Yep.
So those are the two places that I instantly check, is the water sources and the fence lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one place that I try to really hit them at, especially on my piece of property, is I try to find the natural drainages, because a lot of that black dirt will come off those hillsides and pull up down there in some of the low spots. And yeah, you'll find a lot of hog sign and a lot of hog activity in those drainages. I've killed a couple of pigs just walking the drainage and found them bedded up sleeping, and I got a chance to sneak up on them and get them during the heat of the day. So nice. If you got any natural form of creeks or water drainages that lead to a water source, it's always a good spot. You could potentially find signs or essentially find them. Another big one we talked about earlier, and this is where you can easily tell if you have pigs, is look for their signs of their rooting. When they're rooting up and tilling up the ground, you can find that essentially anywhere. I've seen it to where you'll find them up underneath a lot of some form of like acorn grove or pecan grove or any form of tree that produces like a natural occurring nut or a fruit. You will find a lot of rooting sign up underneath those. So if you have oak trees that produce acorns, which Billy and I both have, our white oaks and even our live oaks here in Texas that will produce an acorn crop every year, you will find a lot of activity up underneath those. And I know for our guys in central Texas to more central to east Texas that have a lot of pecans, a lot of pecan groves, you'll find a lot of hog activity up underneath those. And of course, ag fields. Ag field is just an all-you-can-eat buffet for a pig.
Oh, absolutely. Especially cornfields.
Dude, cornfields. I know here in my part of Texas, there's a lot of cotton fields, a lot of Milo fields that hogs come out to. And I know for a lot of guys that try to run their own food plots with clover and all that stuff, shoot, man, that's candy for pigs. They'll come in and wreck a whole food plot in a night.
Yeah. Yep. And I keep coming back to check and see if there's more there.
Oh, yep. Yeah, once they find a food source, they'll hit it pretty consistently until they deplete it. And then they'll move on. And, you know, speaking of moving on, a lot of people think that pigs really don't travel. Like, they stay relatively in the same spot. But there's this guy on YouTube here in Central Texas that's done a couple of videos where he's trapped like a sow and put a radio collar on her and tracked her for a week or two. And then he'll like put the map up and show it. And one that I thought was really interesting was a sow that he did just north of Lake LBJ in Kingsland, Texas.
Yep.
This sow traveled 24 miles in a week. Like these pigs will move. And typically when they're moving, it's always for food or water.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have pigs on your property, Don't think that there's none. They're going to find you eventually, especially if you got food and water. They'll eventually find you here in Texas for sure.
Yep. And then they'll be there to stay for a little bit.
Yep. And for, it's funny because on my family property, until someone finally saw one with their own eyes, no one thought we had hogs out on the place. And it wasn't until 2011 when I literally killed my very first pig. And it was actually on my family's property. We were literally just driving. Like, we had just got to the property. We're driving down the road. We're going nice and easy. And I'm in my dad's 2006 Ford F-250, which y'all can, if y'all were old enough to remember, diesel trucks used to actually be loud compared to the new trucks that are out now. And the whole ranch would hear you. And I'm sitting there, and I had a cousin of mine. She really wanted to go hunting. Never been before. And I was like, yeah, come with us. We're just going to roll up there, drive the ranch roads and, you know, see if we jump anything. And she goes, oh my God, look at that cow. And I go, cow? What do you mean cow? And I look, and like 30 yards off the road, man, this is just massive, mangled, just muddied up boar. Could care less about the truck. And he's just walking. And dude, when I saw that, I was like, what in the world? Like, that's the biggest hog I've ever seen. Dude, pull that 30-06 out, and I shot him. But then shortly after that, man, when I actually started getting up in there and looking, dude, it was a clear sign that there was way more than just that pig.
Yeah.
And I guess where I'm leading up to that is, say you don't see the signs, say you don't see it on the fence lines, you don't see rutting, things like that. One way you can find out is putting up some trail cameras over some bait. Some corn, I know Billy used this a lot because of the perks of his dad being a butcher at a local grocery market, is expired produce.
Yep.
You know, your lettuces and all that, just toss it out there. And if you don't have them, or you don't think you have them, you probably do in Texas. That's a good way to get them to come out of the tree line to show themselves, is some bait piles or some feeders like we use here in Central Texas for sure to find those.
But
Billy, now that we found them, because once you find them, that's where the fun starts.
Yes, it does.
So what are some of your favorite strategies, man, when it comes to, I guess, planning out a trip or even a hunt on your own piece of property?
So with me, I don't always have access to dogs. So, you know, like you said, trail cameras, I'll put the trail cameras out. Obviously, when Dad was working for Brookshire Brothers, I had access to all the expired produce and whatnot. I'd do that. I'd mix diesel and corn up, let it ferment for 5, 6, 7 days, pour that out, watch the trail cams. I'd get them coming in pretty regular every night. And then I would play the wind. Like you said, that's the big thing. And I'd still even use scent killer. Dead downwind evolve is what I use.
You have to.
Spray down. I mean, I would dose myself. Like, just, it would look like I essentially got out of a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. Like,
because their nose is that good. And then I would go set a stand up and get up in a tree.
Yeah.
And when they would come out, I'd let the 5.56 eat. That's one way I'd do it. Or I would set big traps.
You know, yeah.
One way in door type of traps, and we would build those out. And then we also had those trap door pens as well.
Yep.
And we catch a lot that way. So those are the two biggest ways that I've mainly done it.
Yeah, trapping would probably be my most successful way of essentially, you know, managing hogs. And I remember on my buddy's piece of property there in Spring Branch, you know, we had the same way, the actual one way in, one way out hog traps.
Yep.
And we wouldn't do the diesel, mostly because we were just like, we kind of wanted to eat the pig. So we never did the diesel, but we used to do the, that grape Kool-Aid, where you add like the grape Kool-Aid to your corn and with the water and let it ferment for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And had a lot of success doing that. But I had a lot of people recommend the diesel because of one thing that him and I ran into not once, but twice is when the stinking whitetail would go into the trap. Like I got a photo and I'll find it. I got it on my laptop, guys, and I'll post it up on our Instagram after this, where we had two whitetail bucks, like 2 year and a half, 2.5 year old bucks that went inside that hog trap and got caught. And we had to get them out because they wanted that Kool-Aid corn. So I know a lot of people were recommending the diesel because the deer won't go to it, but it didn't really sit right with us to eat a pig that just had a belly full of diesel fuel. But no, trapping was like the way that we all did it, man. I mean, that 1 year, I think we trapped like 25, 26 hogs, and that was in a single trap. You know, I know if we would have ran like the big corral type, like you were talking about, I know guys that actually have businesses where they go on people's property to remove hogs and they can take an entire sounder out with one of those traps.
Yeah.
Because not trying to get too big into the technicality of trapping, because that can be a whole nother episode on just trapping pigs.
Oh, yeah.
But for y'all that don't know, boars don't lead the sounders. Boars are strictly, if they're in a sounder, they're only there to breed the sows and then they're out. The matriarch, the lead sow, is that one pig you're trying to outwit. You're trying to not have her smell you. You're trying not to have her see you. You're trying for her not to realize that what she's walking into is a trap. Because once she's figured you out, you're done. You're never going to catch her. And so every time we go hog hunting, I always tell the boys, find the matriarch. And you can always tell the matriarch because she's not the first one that comes to the feeder. She typically hangs back. She scans it. And she's the first one to sound the alarm if something doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
So we always tell the, I always tell the kids, if you see the lead sow, take her out. Like that's the one you want to take because all the knowledge dies with her.
Yep. Absolutely. Because
Because once she figures out the traps, man, you're never going to catch that pig.
Yeah. I can say that from experience. I had one figure me out and she figured the trap out. We even left the door open, like wide open. So they just in and out. And she was in the trap several times.
Yep.
The first time that we let that door down, so pigs would actually have to push the door open with their face. And we had her on trail cam doing it. She walked up to it. She nuzzed it. She backed up. That was it. We had, I think, three pigs in the trap. But after that, they were nowhere near that trap.
Yeah.
So I eventually ended up shooting her by luck of the draw.
Yep.
Going out deer hunting one day. She was actually standing at one of my corn piles on one of the properties I was hunting, because there was like two or three properties that were like right next to each other that I had permission to hunt on. And she was sitting at one of the bait sites, and I ended up smoking her that day. But yeah, that matriarch of the sounder. Yeah. She gets you, you're done. You're out.
Yep.
So.
And another thing to hit on the matriarchs, we were talking earlier about on safety precautions. Believe it or not, it's the sow that is most likely going to jack you up and not the boar.
Yep.
Especially if you get around her piglets. Oh my gosh, be prepared.
Oh yeah.
I've seen too many videos, man, where guys catch the piglet in the field and that little piglet squealing. And they're like, oh, look at them, caught a piglet. And all of a sudden that sow comes bolting out of the bushes after
them. Yep.
Yep. Dude, I've had big boars come up on me, man. Immediately see me, smell me, and they run. But, dude, if a sow comes up on you and she's got her piglets, you better get up that tree as fast as you can, because they're the ones that's going to cut you. It's going to it's gonna be the mama. It ain't going to be daddy. Mama's going to be the one to cut you.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yep. So, I know this one's a very sensitive topic we're about to transition into. And that is, what are some of the ethical considerations involved in hog hunting? So for y'all that don't know, like Billy and I actually went and looked at all the different rules and regulations with your state. So we're going to tell you, Texas is a different breed, but go to your local wildlife department agencies, check with them as far as what you can use and methods you can use and ways you can do, you can take feral pigs, because some states have seasons, some states don't. And like Texas here, they literally just said, if you have a way to kill them and it doesn't hurt anybody or hurt property, go right ahead. So if you want to go shoot them out of a helicopter, you can do that here in Texas. If you want to do Billy's personal favorite and create a claymore out of Tannerite and take them out that way, you can legally do that here in Texas.
That is my preferred method, yes. That or if I can get my hands on a tank or a nice size cannon, absolutely. But
yep.
For now, I'll make a claymore out of corn and Tannerite.
Yep. So it's a very interesting question that him and I came up with, because in Texas you can do whatever you want with them. I still treat hogs. This is just my personal preference, so no judgment here. I still treat hogs just like I treat the whitetails. I treat them with respect because I have a lot of respect for what I'm pursuing. So I do always try to factor in shot placement. I don't just let loose, or mag dump is the term, you know, empty out your magazine on a sounder of pigs. I try to hit everyone that I aim at. I'm not trying just to pump lead into them and not find them and not recover them. Cause even with the hog, I still just, it's just who I am. It's just morality. My morality kicks in. I have to go find the animal that I just put a bullet into. But I know a lot of people that, hey, sounder comes out, just open fire, mag dump, let it ring. And especially if you're trying to take out populations because you're ag fields, I get it. No judgment. It's just me personally, I don't try to just waste my ammo, because ammo, one, ain't cheap.
And not two, anymore.
And two, I take a lot of pride in the fact as me actually hitting my target. Just call it the Marine in me. I want to be successful and actually neutralize what I'm aiming at. I mean, Billy, what about you? I know you're a little bit on the other side, so get after it, man.
So don't get me wrong. I love my Tannerite and my corn, you know, fragmentation device here. But I do also respect the animals I pursue, even if it is pigs, even though I do not like pigs. I love to eat them, but I just don't like them.
Oh, who doesn't like to eat them?
Do I have to answer that? You really want me to answer that?
Yeah, well, we can
get anyway, into that later. Yeah. But no, I will take ethical shots. I've only ever done the Tannerite and corn once. That was just, we had an insane amount of pigs on this one piece of property. So yeah, we put 100 pounds of corn out and like 50 pounds of Tannerite underneath it. And hey, sounder neutralized. Anyway, I will take my ethical shots. I'll make sure they're clean. I don't mag dump. Obviously, one, because like James said, ammo is expensive. It's too expensive to do that these days. I have, and I'll actually tell this story, and my dad can back this one up. So one of the property I was hunting, I had traps set. The farmer called and said, hey, you've got 3 pigs in a trap. So we go out there, bang, bang, bang. Put a round in all 3 of them. And like you said, hogs are tough. And the hog hunters know hogs are tough.
Yep.
And this pig was probably 150 pounds or so. And I mean, AR, right smack to the head. Bullet never penetrated. It did, but it didn't.
Yeah.
So I drag 1 hog out, drag 2 hog out, drag number 3 pig out. As we're sitting there, this pig kicks the ever-living crap out of my ankle, drops me to a knee, gets up and takes off running. Dead sprint, makes big old horseshoe maneuver. Leading shot, 1 shot. Let 1 round fly, rolled this pig. Absolute dump. Pig was going probably as fast as it could go.
Yeah.
Ended up dumping this pig. But, yeah, even with a headshot at point blank, that pig still ate that bullet and survived until I had the follow-up shot. But, yeah, I definitely do my absolute best to make an ethical shot every time I let an arrow fly, or very rarely when I decide to pick a rifle up, let a round fly downrange.
Yep. And we're not casting judgment on anyone. You know, if it's legal and you're successful, have at it, man. You know, maybe one day you can treat us out to do some crazy stuff and we'll get a chance to experience it with you.
Yeah. So if you're listening, you have some crazy hog hunting ideas, I'm down to hear them, and I'm definitely down to try them. So you can definitely hit me up. Hit me up on Final Moment Outdoors, whether it's Facebook or Instagram. If you got some crazy experimentation hog hunting that I haven't done yet, let me know, and I will definitely do my best to get out there and do it with you.
Aw, man, for sure. I love hog hunting, and if you were to ask me if I had to give up one of them, like hog hunting or deer hunting, I'm not gonna lie, man, I love hog hunting.
Bye bye, deer.
I love hog hunting, and mostly because it's year round, dude. It's year round. You can hunt them different styles, and they're tough. They're smart. You can hunt them at night. You can hunt them during the day. It's just fun. And it's fun for the kids too. My boys love to hunt pigs. They've all been successful at taking several pigs. Calvin's taken a trophy boar. It's been an awesome time. Now, going into some of the environmental factors like weather, terrain, have you ever found yourself where those have either been pros or cons in hunting pigs?
Don't hunt in thunderstorms. Lightning does strike.
Especially in East Texas. Everything's a lightning rod.
Yes. Honestly, the only con that I've ever had was chasing pigs in Kerrville. And you know how Kerrville is. It's rocky, very shelly-like rocks. They just slip, slide. They don't. If you're hunting places like that, be careful. Wear the right boots and right footwear. And that's where that situational awareness comes into play. Watch where you're stepping, because I can't tell you how many times I've busted my butt and slid 30 foot down the side of a freaking mini mountain, as I call them, in Kerrville.
Yep.
Other than that, I mean, in East Texas, I mean, just you got to be cognizant of if you're going to get a hog bait up in a river or something, just be kind of cognizant of the depth when you go in and, you know, what the mud and stuff is like around there. Because I've definitely gotten stuck in the mud a couple times.
Oh, yeah. And that's the one thing you will not expect to find in East Texas, especially when there has been rain for a while, is you'll still find mud.
Yeah.
And a lot, contrary to
mud.
Yeah. And contrary to popular belief, you may see the tall pine trees, but underneath those tall pine trees is like the most dense shrubbery thickets that you'll ever experience.
Yopons and thorn bushes.
Yep. And you can
they get, are not friendly.
No, dude. And they tangle you all up in them, and you're trying to push into them. And pigs love that stuff. They love thick stuff. They never take the easy path. And I guess that's the one thing you can learn from terrain and weather. Is if a hawk can make it difficult for you, it's going to make it difficult for you.
I've came out of those yopon and thorn bush thickets before looking like Freddy Krueger done had his way with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll be just sliced all up, soaked in my own blood, like, get pretty hairy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. And that's the one thing that I know you and I were talking about this, and we were laughing because the other day, driving to work, and for y'all that, you know, y'all listening, and for y'all that haven't, you know, I live in New Braunfels, Texas, right off I-35, and I'm headed up to the dealership that I work at. So a lot of development's happening, but broad daylight, pulling up to my dealership, there's a little hay field to the right, and at 9 o'clock in the morning, they're warning about 10 pigs in the field, already 95 degrees, and they're running. So where I'm leading up to that is I've seen more activity, more frequent activity, and better hawk hunting success in the summer versus while in deer season in the Texas wintertime. I don't know what it is. I'm pretty sure Billy can probably vouch for me, or maybe East Texas a little bit different, but I've been way more successful during the summertime hunting pigs and leaning into the and the weather aspect of the summertime, it is hot. And even at night, it is hot. So that's one thing that running into a lot is the heat.
Yeah, it's kind of hit or miss in East Texas. I've killed more pigs sometimes in the summer than I have the winter, and it's been vice versa. I've killed more in the winter than I have the summer. It's hit or miss with pigs, obviously, just because they travel so much.
Yeah, they definitely do that. And guys, like we emphasized this before, depending upon your state, depending upon where you're at in the United States, especially in the lower 48, sorry, Alaska, you don't have any hogs. But if you're in the lower 48, definitely get with your local legislation regulations as far as, you know, hog hunting, your seasons, tags. You know, like in Texas, we don't need a license anymore to even hunt pigs. You just need your hunter safety course completed. So definitely check in with your state and fish and game departments for sure. And then Billy, yeah. I guess we're gonna end it with this one. And you and I really emphasize this when we're developing this episode is, what advice would you give to someone who's interested in getting hog hunting for the very first time?
Either A, if you got friends that do it, go with them, or B, get an outfitter.
Get a guide. I cannot emphasize that enough, is get a guide. Now, could you just sit in a blind and shoot a pig and everything be safe? Yes. But if you want to go out there and really hunt hogs the good old Texas way or the Southern way, I can't say it's Texas way, it's a Southern way, definitely go with someone who is experienced.
Yeah.
Can't even, we're not going to beat that one with the dead horse, guys. Just find a guide, find some friends that do it religiously, like they know what they're doing, and go with them. Don't just go out in the middle of the thickets trying to chase pigs on your very first time hunting them, because you're gonna run into a very sticky situation very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. I'm looking at the clock. I think we've kind of hit that one pretty good, hit that nail on the head.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could talk on this for hours, obviously. I mean, but it's only a 101 episode. I'm sure we'll get more into it later on. So,
no, absolutely. So, guys, if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, Billy, what should they do?
Well, if you want to hear more, you need to tune in to get out.
Yeah.
Let's get yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Hey, it was a blast, dude. Just you and me. I know Spencer's doing his producer stuff. He's working hard, guys, making sure he's getting these episodes out to you on time. But that's why Billy and I are here drinking our coffee, and Billy's probably drinking something else.
Maybe. I'll never tell. I dare not exactly. Speak on grounds that may incriminate me.
All right, brother. Take care, man.
You too, buddy. I'll see you.
See ya.